The Old Testament people were a congregation. There were 2 million people in the wilderness. They were not connected to each other. There's a big congregation. You know, in Ezekiel chapter 37, turn with me for a moment. Ezekiel 37. There's a beautiful picture there. There's a little booklet which some of you have read called The Congregation, The Club, and The Church. It shows us the difference between what is a gathering, which is a congregation, what is a club, and what's a church. And I want to show you a little picture of that in Ezekiel 37. Congregation, club, church. Okay, the Spirit of the Lord, verse 1, brought me into a valley, and it was full of bones. And he caused me to pass among these bones round about, and they were all very dry. And son of man, the Lord asked me, can these bones live? And he said, Lord, I don't know, you know. Anyway, prophesy over these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Behold, I will cause breath of my Holy Spirit to enter into you that you may come to life. And I'll put sinews on you and make them grow back on you, cover you with skin and breath that you may come alive. So I prophesied, verse 7, as I was commanded, and there was a noise and a rattling, and the bones came together and bone to bone, and looked, and behold, sinews were on them, and flesh grew and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then the Lord said to me, one more stage, prophesy to the Holy Spirit, prophesy and say, come upon these dead, lifeless beings. And I prophesied, and the breath came into them, verse 10. And suddenly they came to life and stood on their feet, an exceeding big army. Notice three pictures here. First of all, a bunch of bones. They were all real human bones, not bones of animals. Human bones, but not connected to each other, all lying together in one area. We could say in a broad way that's a picture of a congregation, a huge group of people, like 2 million people in the wilderness. With a lot of potential, but not connected. The next stage is where these bones and get flesh on top of it and they get connected. It's not just bones, it looks like a body because it's all connected now. You see that, but they're like dead bodies. And there's no difference between a dead body and a pile of bones. A dead body becomes a pile of bones after some time. Absolutely, both are worthless. A dead body can do nothing, pile of bones can do nothing. But it looks better than a pile of bones. It's as if there's a connection between the wrist and the hands and all that, and looks like a real body, but it's dead. This is a picture of a club where they care for one another and help one another, but there is no connection with the head, and the Holy Spirit is not there. The fullness of the Holy Spirit is not there. And the third one is, Spirit of God comes and fills them, and they come alive. You have to see when you go to a church, is this a congregation where people live their own individual life, not working together? They all come, 10,000 people sit in a church, listen to the sermon and go home. Good. Maybe a good sermon. It's like a pile of bones, they're not connected with each other. And then you go to another place where they care for one another. They help one another. And this looks much better. It is. Because they help each other. Somebody's in need. Somebody's sick. They take some food to their house. And somebody's in financial need. They help them. And it's a club. You know the Freemasons? There's a group called the Freemasons who don't trust in God. They're very good, helpful to each other. There are Hindu and other clubs that help and care for one another. Very good clubs. There are many clubs where they come to play cards or tennis together and they help one another. If anybody's in need, they'll rally to help them. But they have no connection with Jesus. There's no Holy Spirit there. Congregation, club, and here's the church. The Holy Spirit comes and fills them, and they are suddenly an army working together. The wonderful thing about any army, verse 10, last part, is that they have a general who tells them what to do. And each soldier is working with the other soldier together to accomplish a purpose, to win the battle for their nation. Like the human body under the control of the head. That's what a church is supposed to be. There must be a connection with the head first, like the two arms of the cross, and also with each other. So there is a concern to each other, so helping one another, caring for another, all good, but if each person in that church is not directly connected to the head and walking the narrow way, seeking fellowship with the head, it's not a church. It's a good club. And you may not, if you know something about the New Covenant Church, you will not mistake a congregation for that church. You'll not see a big mega church and say, boy, this is the body of Christ. No, you won't be fooled. There may be powerful sermons there. If you want to listen to a powerful sermon and good music nowadays, you don't have to go to a church. You go to YouTube. There's a lot of Christian music there, if you search for it, which is much better than any music you hear in most churches. And there are a lot more good sermons on the YouTube with some very good preachers than you can hear in any church. I guarantee that in YouTube you can hear a better sermon than what you listen in many churches today. Better than 99% of churches. But you know, I'll tell you, and you have an advantage in YouTube. If you get bored with a sermon, you can just switch it off and go. In a church, you can't get up and walk out. It's a bit insulting. So if you're only interested in a good sermon, I'd say go to YouTube. Don't go to a church. You can hear much better sermons, or you can turn off when you don't like it. And the wonderful thing about YouTube is they don't pass an offering bag around after you listen. I mean, there are many Christian websites that say pay $5 per sermon. Believe it or not. I mean, CFC charges nothing because we are like Jesus charged nothing. Paul charged nothing for his sermons. We charge nothing. We take no royalties on our books. We charge nothing for our sermons. We try to do exactly like Jesus and Paul did when it comes to money. We never ask for money. We never send out letters. We never charge for royalty, nothing. But most churches, I'll tell you something I heard the other day. Somebody wrote to me, Brother Zach, I'm so thankful to CFC, everything is free. The other day I found another site which said, listen freely to the sermon. And I tuned in, it was free. But after I listened to it for about 5 minutes, they stopped and said, if you want to continue listening, please pay $5. That was a clever trick. It's like catching the fish with the hook. And say, okay, now you better pay up. I tell you, preachers are such sharp businessmen. They try so many tricks to make money. I was most amused. I never heard such of a trick. There are some very clever people among preachers when it comes to money. And you know where they get that cleverness from? You know, the Bible says in Genesis 3:1, the serpent was the cleverest of all the animals. And so the devil got into the serpent. Why didn't he get into the donkey? Why didn't the serpent get into a donkey and come to Adam like that? Because the donkey's a bit dumb. So the devil's looking for clever people to use their cleverness to lead people astray. Go to a church that encourages you to have a direct connection with Christ. And the only way to have that is by denying yourself and dying to yourself and your personal choices every day. We answered a little question about modesty a little earlier. What is the dress code? Modesty. Don't go by your own idea. You can have your own idea and you can be very stubborn. No, I think this, my dress is modest. Okay. Go ahead, wear it till Jesus comes. You make it a surprise when he comes and he tells you your dress was not modest. So, don't be so stubborn in your opinion in any area. Say, Lord, I'm human. My flesh deceives me all the time. The Bible speaks about the deceitful lusts. Satan is a deceiver. The Bible says that in Revelation 12. The heart is deceitful above all things, it says in Jeremiah 17. My lusts are deceitful, it says in Ephesians 4. What all are deceitful? Satan, my heart, and the flesh. I cannot trust these things. Your heart may say something is right and is not right. Most immodestly dressed women, their heart tells them you're okay. And a lot of so-called Christian women also, whose hearts are deceitful, you've got to acknowledge I'm deceitful. Or some other thing that you do, which is wrong, and your heart says, no, it's okay. You fight with somebody about some earthly thing. And the Bible says we don't wrestle with flesh and blood. We are not supposed to wrestle with flesh and blood. We have to fight with the devil, not with human beings. So, there are many areas we can be deceived. So, if we have a connection with the head and keep our conscience clear all the time, we can have fellowship with God. And then I can have fellowship with another brother who also has fellowship with God. But if he doesn't have fellowship with God, even if I'm together with him every day, I don't have fellowship.